another challenge is trying to articulate to people that are not in the industry why your AI is not working how you think it's going to work.
Yeah.
And you just got to accept it. And then telling them that is kind of like, was like, well, like, how do you say, like, yeah, I know I told it to do this, but it doesn't always do that. So you just got to go with it. And then just like, well, I paid you to build it. But like, yeah, but I can't control it. And that's hard articulating that and getting people to understand that too. Welcome to the Binary Views podcast. This podcast is going to give you a dual perspective on startups versus big tech around AI and data analytics. We're going to have collaborative discussions showing you both viewpoints from different topics around this and also bringing in some special guests to contribute to our topics and our discussions. I'm Tyler Levin. I'm the solo entrepreneur, and I'll be giving you the entrepreneur view of AI and data analytics. And this is my co-host Pratik.
Hi everyone. I'm a corporate leader in big tech. I've been there for almost a decade of experience in data and analytics. And my vantage point would be from that perspective. We want to bring this podcast to you once a week so that you can tune in every week and understand what is the latest and greatest happening in this area.
Yeah, so we're going to do this in seasons. So this first season is going to be the corporate versus entrepreneur perspectives. There is a lot of different viewpoints when it comes to this, coming from an entrepreneur standpoint, where we're super agile, and corporate, where you got to follow a lot of different rules than we do. So in this first episode, we're going to talk about the future and work within AI. We're going to talk about building AI products, and then also when we implement them, the challenges that we face. And once again, this is going to be personal experience between us two, and then also just the general perspective of the challenges that entrepreneurs and startups will face, and those are going to be different than what corporates face. All right, so the future with AI is kind of it's kind of scary, because like for me being an entrepreneur, I see it quickly, right? Because I'm in AI I was in data analytics, and I was doing Tableau for so long, I wanted to change. And I start seeing, honestly, just like the contacts, like not getting as many leads in, in the whole AI. And I was kind of behind. I was probably at least 3-4 months behind. Like, I saw it, but I wasn't really paying that much attention. And then when I did see it, I was like, oh, like, this is about to change everything. All right. So I kind of started adapting and trying to get ahead of it before I became irrelevant. And I feel like it was going to go super quick. And the more I got into it, I was like, man, like, I got to go even faster, because this is going a lot quicker than anybody else is even thinking. Like, no one's ever been paying attention about it. And this is going to be exponentially quicker than like this transition from like non-internet and internet, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Because like AI is going to build on itself and make it go faster, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, but it's also scary, because like a lot of people haven't even thought about it, right? It's like, it's not even a concept. I'm like, your job is probably going to be out in about 2 years, and they don't even know what's coming. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the future AI is interesting coming from that perspective.
Actually, I'll pick up on the topic that you had, like being scared of an AI from being a solopreneur. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, the big tech companies are also scared of AI. Why? Yeah. Because it is the best disruptor in the market right now. And it does not give you time.
Mm-hmm.
For example, previously, if you take a team of 30 engineers to get something done, AI can just do it with like two people hacking their way through it.
Yeah.
So a company which is big has a lot of engineers to work on,
mm-hmm.
but now two engineers can actually just disrupt the whole business that they had.
Yeah.
And that is what scares other corporate leaders in big tech companies.
Yeah, and I also the view of, like, the whole ethics of it, right? Like a lot of people trying to slow it down. Like the big thing with Sam, right? They were like, oh, they kicked him out because he's just moving too fast. But if he doesn't move fast, somebody else will. So it's you try to balance that scared of AGI and ethics. But like, oh, if I slow down, my competitors don't, then I'm going to be non-existent. So it's like you can't, you almost can't.
Yeah.
And so it just like, it's a fuel to the fire and you just keep going. And that's at the corporate level, right? Yeah, so like picture it at the entrepreneur level.
Yeah.
Like it's even worse. It's just like, if me as a solo entrepreneur, I don't have to hire 5-10 people. I can do, me and one person could do that and have no cost to it and have everything automated. Like there's no way anybody else can compete with us.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's almost a fear of like, if I don't, like, I'm be gone in a couple of years.
But the reason I disagree with you there is because I understand it employs you with a lot of power to do something that you want to do. But the implicit assumption is that you have good things in your mind.
Yeah.
Let's say if you have nefarious ideas, you can still be a one-man army and can actually disrupt something.
Yeah.
So when some kind of, I would say, technology that can have wide social impact and you just leave it without any regulations, I feel from a big tech standpoint is that we want to have some regulations to be able to understand, like, hope it should not be used for nefarious purposes. And who is the harbinger or who is the person who is stopping us from doing that?
Yeah. But I mean, we all know the regulations are not going to really stop anybody, right? I mean, as far as business goes, but if you're really going to be using it for bad, like a lot of the open source ones, there's some of them where they're uncensored and you can do whatever you want, right? Like anybody in any country can go download that and use it. So I think it's one of those things where it's going to be so hard to control. And you can't stop it. There's no stopping it. So it's like embracing it and try to maneuver as you can, but it's going so fast. It's hard to adapt while it's moving so quickly.
I agree in part and disagree in the other part. I'll tell you which I agree on. I agree on the part that within the country, within the confines of the country boundaries, we need to have some kind of AI regulations and then enough openness for people to experiment, right? But where I disagree is that if we have no regulation across the world, this same AI agents can be actually used against your country itself or your company.
Yeah.
And then who is to stop? Who is to get somebody to justice? For example, we know carjacking is not the right thing to do, but we have regulations and everyone knows that if we do that, we're going to be having consequences. Right now, writing a piece of code that can do something where an AI agent is involved. So the blame goes to the AI agent. Like, I didn't do it. I just gave them a direction.
Yeah.
And that agent did something.
Yeah.
There is where I see some regulations coming in and playing a role of actually being a voice of reason as compared to like the wild, wild west where everyone is allowed to do anything.
Yeah.
And
which it is currently.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is thing. But all right. So let's kind of jump back into the future of work with it. Like, like this is all stuff where these is people just doing things on their own. Like corporate people know they can't do that because there's consequences. Right. Yeah. So when it comes to work, like, how do you feel this is going to change it from the corporate standpoint of being maybe a software engineer or being someone in data science and data analytics, which everyone's kind of scared because it's like, man, they could write code better than me, right? So how do you feel it affecting that?
Yeah. I'll give you 2 points. Number one is what AI has done is made everyone a good engineer, not the best, but the good, because you have boilerplate codes now to start with. So cold start problem has been solved by AI.
Yeah.
So it makes a same engineer 5x more productive. But the implications of it is, previously when you would invest, let's say $1 million into a project and get like 20 SDEs to work on it and reap the results after a year or 6 months, now you don't have to post $1 million.
Yeah.
100K to engineers can easily do that stuff with boilerplate.
Mm-hmm.
So what it does, that investment of dollars into AI projects or any project that can be enabled by AI has become more efficient.
Okay.
Thereby, the leaders have to become a lot more conscious about the decisions that they are taking into tech so that they can make sure they can get the best out of it. Because you're competing with people outside who have free reins and they can do whatever they want.
Yeah. So what I would do if I was... So I didn't know Python beforehand. I knew SQL. I knew Tableau is what I came from. I can understand coding, so I knew I would get it quickly. But my goal was I didn't want to be good at Python, because initially I started just using ChatGPT to write code and then copy and paste in Python and just watching YouTube videos. The thing is, I can get things done. It just took forever because I didn't know the general syntax. I was like, man, why is this not working? It was like, oh, because this had a tab and not a space. Like, you know, just general things that weren't working, right? Yeah. So I ended up going to Udemy and just getting a basic Python course. Just so I know the structure, I know what functions are, like I knew the fundamentals of it. And I still have ChatGPT write all my code, but now when I get errors, I know what to look for and how to manipulate it, right? And I feel like I'm probably just as powerful with my basic skills in ChatGPT than a mid-level software engineer, right? So I view it as I'd much rather have a bunch of people that know basic Python, lower level, right? And they can use ChatGPT or whatever to do, because it writes really good code. And then all those middle people, I think their jobs are not that valuable anymore, right? Why pay you $100,000 when I could pay this person $60,000, and they can do the same thing you can do? So I think AI is going to broaden the gap. Entry and like super, like everybody in the middle is kind of fucked right now, right? Like even in middle classes, like rich people, they know how to, they're going to know how to use AI, right? But like service people, they're not going to, like, they're, you know, it's so, I think it's just going to increase the gap a lot.
I mean, it is a scary thought, right? But it is kind of true, and it is coming true day by day. And I'll tell you, like working at Big Tech, the engineers we have are all the three segments. Like we have entry-level engineers, mid-level engineers, and really sophisticated engineers. And what we are seeing is the entry-level engineers becoming the mid-level engineers right off the bat.
Yeah.
It would take years for them to build that muscle, and now they don't have to anymore. And what has done that is actually the market of engineers or software development engineers have become so wide because now there are too many people for the same thing, and everyone can start from scratch. And that is what I think, pointing to the fact that you were saying is, hey, I'm scared, like what is happening in between? Like people who are really good engineers, they're going to still be in demand. People who are right off school will be in demand because they are low price. People who are in middle is where we need to be worried about, like, what are going to happen to them? What can they do to be the high-level engineer?
Because I think the high-level engineers are not even going to do coding. They're probably going to set up, like, create tools and stuff for the lower level, like quality checks. Like, they're going to stop coding because it's not going to be worth their time, right?
They actually plan things out, like, hey, if we want to do this, the implications are going to be like that. Therefore, we need to build things like this.
So those middle, and that's why I found myself in a position once I was like, man, like, I'm in that middle area. Like, I got to do something different. So that's where I was like, I have to adapt. And if I don't, but that's what, like, I was in the industry already, even being data analytics, like I was still 5 months late probably, right? Like I think officially like came out like November, like last November, right? I started dabbling into it in like February. I saw it, but like I was seeing people like writing poems and just stupid stuff. I was like, oh, that's cool. But like, but then like later on, I was like, oh man, this, it could write code. Like, you know, and then even it was like, I screenshot a like an app, and I was like, "Hey, give me the Python code to write this app." And it was very simple.
That blew my mind too.
You know, I was just like, "Man!" And it just like, and as you learn more, you're just like, "Man, this, there's so much stuff this can do." But I talk to people, and they have no clue what it even is. You know, and it's just like, man, like you're gonna be left behind. Like, and so it that part is scary, because that middle class area is going to be really affected from it, especially if they're not in a tech industry.
Exactly.
Now, coming from the solopreneur standpoint I'm in AI and data analytics, so it's not kind of the same as being like a company that does recruiting or a company that does something different, not in the field, right? Like those companies that are based off of just efficiencies and lower costs and profit, if they're not embracing AI, right, and another company is, they got lower demand. I mean, they have lower costs because they're not selling it. I mean, they don't have any employees. They're more efficient because they're automating things. Like, after a year or two of doing that, like, those other ones that are not embracing it are going to be non-existent, because the other people are going to be so much more efficient and be able to lower their price. Like, it's just going to, there's going to be a huge gap, and there's no way that they're going to be able to keep up with doing things traditionally, right?
If I can just say one line, AI is going to make everyone so efficient. So making everyone efficient means each businesses which leverages AI are going to be efficient, and who do not are going to be less efficient, thereby actually hitting your P&L.
Yeah.
And that P&L is something that everyone wants to have their eyes on.
No. Yeah. And for like, I had recruiting, because I have a recruiting tool, and like I was writing people, and one person was like, I'm purposely not using AI. And I'm sitting there thinking like, all right, like, good luck with that, right? Because it's like the people that are like, there's no way you're keeping up, dude. And I get the ethical dilemma of it, but if you're in business, you got to balance it, right? Like, you're not in business for ethics. Like, that's that. I get you got to be ethical, but if you're in business for ethics, then like your business will probably disappear, and then you can go do whatever you're doing with that. Yeah. But like, you gotta be like, you can't just ignore it. Like, it's not.
I think like the ethics comes from people, but individually taking a stance on ethics and hurting your business, I think is not the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Ethics and the regulations, I think I would encourage the government to take an action on it and, make a leveling field for everyone, because from the example that you just shared, that person would be potentially hurting their chances of getting employed, their chances for feeding their family, right? And there is where I understand where the ethics comes from individually, but it has to be a leveling playing field for everyone to make sure that we all are doing the right things for society.
And I mean, you have an option of how to use it, right? I get there can be unethical ways, but the idea, the concept is not unethical. It's just how people use it, right?
Yeah.
So you just kind of use it in a way that's beneficial, which hopefully your company doesn't beneficial. So it's not even necessarily a, like, I want to get into AI. Like, it's like, if you don't, especially if you don't do it early when everyone else is, your business is just not going to work. Like, it's just, it's one of those, like I don't think people understand how serious it is. Like, man, like, I literally did this recruiting tool, and that person saved 30, 40% of their time.
Wow.
Like, picture how much more things they can do with that time, which will make them outcompete you, you know, like it's almost a fear thing. Like, dude, you do it or else it's going to be too late. Yeah. You know,
no, on top of it, it is actually like, so even in companies, bigger companies where we are trying to recruit people, we are looking for this basic mindset that is growth mindset, where you are open to adapting very quick.
Yeah.
Because the industry we are in is changing, no matter whether you change or not.
Yeah.
So we need people who are in the company to be adapt as fast as possible. And growth mindset are the kind of people who would take it and understand like, okay, this is what I need to do. Not to be afraid of it, but we need to embrace it and then chug along, because maybe in the start you will be not as good, but as you move further, you're going to be better. So we look for that particular trait in people when we are employing, so that they can adapt as fast as possible. And I think that is the crux of the thing that we need to look at.
Okay. So what would you recommend if somebody's in corporate right now, and they're trying to stay relevant?
Yeah.
What would be, you're saying adaptability is one, showing that you're adaptable. Unfortunately, adaptability is almost a personality trait, right? Like, it's kind of hard to be like, you can try to be more adaptable, but it's kind of a natural thing or not. Right. So maybe like outside of something that is a core personality trait of someone, like, what are some things they can do to make sure they stay relevant?
I would encourage corporate leaders to look at their tool set and understand which are the tool set which they are or their company is using is going to be relevant pretty soon, and try to find alternatives for it using AI.
Okay.
Yeah.
So switching up their softwares.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Now what about it's a huge company. So like, let's say they have Power BI or something, right? Yeah. They have a huge 5-year contract with them. They usually have long contracts.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't just like, I'm
got themselves into.
All right. Like, but like those contracts are good because you get cheaper prices. But
yes,
dude, like, AI is moving quick. Every month, something new is coming out.
Yeah.
5 years from now. Like, people are not even going to be using dashboards, right? There's probably going to be just voice talking to something. Yes. So it's like, like in those situations where you have, you know, these types of contracts with software companies, you have these tools, all this money invested, everything is around it.
Yeah.
Like, how could you get around that and stay agile at the same time? Because those are all commitments you already done before this whole thing came out. The season is brought to you by Visual Intelligence, your dedicated team and partner for data strategy, innovation, AI, and data analytics solutions. As a special thanks to our listeners, Visual Intelligence is offering a free exclusive AI tool every season. This season, it's the Google Trends AI Data Analytics Assistant. This tool offers actionable intelligence on market trends and consumers' interests using Google search data. It's our way of helping you leverage AI without the need of a big data team. Use the link below and enter your email in order to get access to the tool. Also, you can visit us at visualintelligence.com if you need any assistance in anything data, AI, or data analytics related.
First of all, I'll say it is hard to do. There is no easy answer to it.
Yeah.
I think one of the answers that I can give from my perspective is actually be agile, open to disruption. For corporate leaders, it's usually uneasy to land into a territory which is unknown.
Mm-hmm.
So not be afraid of it. And on top of it, like, I would sincerely ask them to understand that this is going to fundamentally change things for business, for AI, because in the end, a business leader or corporate leader cares about how much are we able to increase the shareholder value.
Yeah.
And that is directly linked to how much value you create for your customer.
Mm-hmm.
And that is directly linked to how operationally efficient you are from different senses. Now, whatever technology helps you do that, get your weeds wet with it and then see how that pans along. So small micro investments in AI tools to get your feet wet, to understand where the wave is moving towards. And then as you move along over a couple of months, you will understand whether do you want to use it long-term or not. And on the point that you mentioned, Power BI, I would say having long-term contracts, I think, may act not in your favor in the long run.
Yeah.
Therefore, having shorter contracts
and everything. One-year
contracts.
So maybe just set up your future for being agile. Like you can't do nothing about the past, but going forward, make sure everything is like 1 year contracts, like you know, clauses to be able to get out, have everything be adaptable, right?
Yes.
Exactly. Okay, so let's talk about those middle software developers, right? They're the ones that are scared. They're like I don't know what to do, all right? Like data analytics people. It's like I was Googling, you know, top 10 industries that AI is going to do. Analytics, software, those are all like on the top.
Mm-hmm.
What advice would you give them for staying relevant?
Yeah. I would say I'll give them two advices. First, get into the mindset of being a growth-oriented software developer, meaning changes is coming and you have to adapt.
Yeah.
Secondly, if it is making an initial or an entry-level software engineer as a mid-level engineer, how can you leverage AI to become a high-performing software engineer? So using those AI tools in your tool set and then calling it out. Like, hey, for example, the high-level engineers usually would take strategic decisions to make things done. How can you leverage AI to take that strategic decision? In that way, you are going into that high-performing software developer paradigm.
So I'm thinking like, I don't really see the value of becoming a better software engineer, right? Like that, like the coding is getting so good that I think that is not going to matter how good you are. I think it's more of, which I may think you may have hit on a little bit of the other skills, right? Like I said earlier, like I think there's going to be the entry level, which just knows how to use AI.
Yeah.
And then there's going to be the top people that probably were the advanced ones that are now making tools for the entry level or making quality checks for it, like, or creating processes for it. Like I think it's not going to really be a advanced software engineer anymore. The AI is going to be that. And the entry level is going to have to get, you know, like be able to use AI to get there. But then I think everyone else is going to be more like they're going to need different skills than be able to code.
Can you give like an example of the different skills that you're talking
about? Yeah, like being able to like strategize and think forward, right? Mm-hmm. Like being able to lead, like being able to come up with creative ideas. Like I think there's they're not going to need to know how to code. They're going to need to know different things to be relevant.
Like, am I reading it right? Like mid-level software engineers, mm-hmm. rather than just coding, half of their skill set should be in communications, could be in selling,
yeah,
could
project be management, project processes, management. Optimizations. Okay, okay. Like I think they need to thinking yeah. that way than just to be really, really good at coding. Because I feel like that path is the path that AI is going, and, mm-hmm. and you got to get away from that. So I would think you don't get better at coding, get some other soft skills to mm-hmm. be able to. To now, you know, manage or do
like lead the whole project yeah, by yourself.
Yeah, because yeah. I don't see the like that's why I stopped at basics. Like my plan was I'm gonna learn the basics. I don't need to know anything else because AI is gonna do the rest. Mm. So if you already know medium, it doesn't really make sense to know advanced. It's like you probably should start diversifying your skill set to do other stuff.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just gonna get replaced. That's kind of how I view it. I mean, what do you think about that?
No, I tend to agree with you on that, because how are you going to differentiate yourself in this market mm-hmm. just based on your skills when AI is able to replicate very easily, right?
Yeah.
You want to do and you want to add skills in your quiver in terms of soft skill that is still AI has not accomplished yet,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Project management, yes, AI can do it, but the thought behind it.
Mm-hmm.
has to come from a human, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Understanding the high judgment calls, because if I look at an AI is devoid of feelings, right? Mm-hmm. They are going to optimize for the best vector, right? But a human understands like, hey, in this scenario,
yeah.
maybe that is not the right thing to do,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the judgment
and,
call.
And the judgment call. So building high judgment call in terms of project management is one way of doing it mm-hmm. because you see the project end to end, right? Another way of doing it's just increasing your business acumen.
Yeah. Like,
which customers are you trying to serve?
Mm-hmm.
What is their need? How are we achieving those needs? What are the different ways of achieving them? And then among those ways, which one is the best?
Yeah.
AI will try to find through data, but like the feelings, the context is missing.
Yeah. Yeah. And so from my viewpoint is, if it was me as an entrepreneur,
yeah,
which also kind of like hurts you as because the main problem entrepreneurs has is we know a little of everything and we can do everything, right?
Mm.
And now AI makes that times 10, right?
Yeah.
So it's like I've made this YouTube studio, right? And yeah. then and it's like I showed someone, I was like, I did this like in 2 days. And they're like, man, you got so many skills, right? I was like, oh, I can do this, I can do that. Like, there's so many things I can do.
Yeah.
And so as an entrepreneur, you kind of like most of us is kind of like, man, we're going to do it all. Like we have a hard time delegating, right?
Yeah.
And with AI now, it's like we got a tool where we can do it all and yeah. do it good, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And that kind of is a double-sided sword because now it's our time, right? So it's kind of hard. But as far as like I would say a leader in a kind of a smaller company or an entrepreneur is do still know a little of everything.
Mm-hmm.
But try to delegate as much as you can, right? Like, mm-hmm. like that has always been a hard thing for me is delegating.
You mean like delegating to AI agents?
Or? You could, or if you have team members that do mm-hmm. things, because I have a couple of developers and I'm constantly like, all right, use AI for this. I did try to make a agents form kind of team. It didn't work out, but it was a good concept. Mm-hmm. But like don't get into the trap of oh, now I can do everything great, right? Because then you're going to do everything yourself and you can't really grow. But for a small company, I would say, do try everything. Like if you're a leader, do little things like Zapier. I knew it was around. I just never really used it, but like it's a superpower automation and you can connect it to ChatGPT or OpenAI to do a lot of automation.
Yeah.
Like learn these different tools that are coming out, even if it's just a basic level, learn a little Python on what it's capable of. Mm. Right. And then don't necessarily do it yourself, but like you can delegate these different things to different people. But you just really need to know the fundamentals of it. Like you don't got to be an expert in any anything to be dangerous, right? So so learn what's out there and what's the capabilities. There's, I mean, there's crazy stuff that's capable.
I would say like the big companies come from a slightly different perspective there. Mm-hmm. And the reasoning is we have strategic goals that the company wants to achieve. Yeah. For example, environmental goals or some human resource related goals or some strategic industry that we want to play in.
Mm-hmm.
When we have to do that, those strategic goals usually get divided among teams where these teams try to solve an aspect of that strategic goal, right? And therefore, and strategic goals are usually years long.
Yeah.
So adapting within months for those strategic goals is not easy, right?
Yeah, like every month we realign in our strategy. Because I mean, that really, I, you feel like that's what you got to do.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
it's like every month check it up. All right, let's switch. Like I can't have a three-year goal anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
and the pitfall is when you have a larger company, right? Being an entrepreneur, it's in your mind. If you pivot, you pivot, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's part of us. We pivot all day, every day.
But when it's a big company, each one of your engineers, program managers, mm-hmm. BIs, or salesperson, they all need to be aligned.
Yeah.
And this information, by the time it reaches to them, like really internalizing what the company is trying to do, takes time
mm-hmm.
because we are still humans,
yeah.
right? But the AI is not. So when it takes few months for everyone to get aligned on a particular goal, by that time, if you just change everything else,
yeah.
again, that process starts.
Yeah. With the nerves. Oh, you already got some.
Yeah. Oh, holy shit. Should we do, man.
Let's do a big sip and then pour a little more. This podcast is sponsored by Visual Intelligence. Sorry, no, you're drinking in the middle of
that. Oh, my bad. Yeah.
Welcome to Binary's Views. Binary Views. Man, this is, I'm struggling today, dude.
No drinking the day before, man. No drinking.